What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 111 and part 3 of our whole statin scam series. Today we're going to be talking about pretty much how the pharmaceutical companies get away with this kind of BS science and how they manipulate data to make statins appear beneficial. When you actually look at the data, they're not. So we're going to go through all those reasons and just break down the math. It's a little confusing, I guess. You know, when you get like mathematicians involved and kind of they're magicians with numbers. You know, they can make something appear out of nowhere. But we're going to break that down and kind of tell people why they're wrong about all this stuff. But this week, the article of the week is real relevant to pharmaceutical companies because it just came out. It's titled, Purdue Pharma Reaches $8 Billion Opioid Deal with Justice Department Over OxyContin Sales. And I'll have this link on the website to this article, so tntwellnessandnutrition.com if you want to check it out. But Tom, do you want to kind of just break that article down real quick?
Yeah, so the $8 billion, that's billion with a B, that sounds like a gigantic number. But when you actually look into it, the original lawsuit was for over $2 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
$2 trillion. So there's a lot of states that are really upset with this deal. There's a lot of people, and I mean like thousands of people, that are extremely upset with this deal. Like, how did you let this pharmaceutical company get away with this? And basically what the settlement is over is that Purdue Pharma, they're the ones that make OxyContin, that they've been pushing their doctors into, or not pushing, giving them money, giving them financial kickbacks to doctors that prescribe OxyContin, even though there's been no evidence shown that it provides any sort of benefit. Like, yeah, it gives you some pain relief, but pain relief isn't really a benefit if it doesn't heal you in any sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no sort of benefit. And it's also been responsible for the death of over 450,000 people. That's not just OxyContin. That's all opioids. That's an opioid epidemic. And they're one of like the biggest people responsible for it. So an $8 billion settlement isn't enough. And if you like dig into this a little bit deeper, the Sackler family, they're the ones that own Purdue Pharma. They've sent $10 billion away from the company into offshore accounts that can't even be touched. So this $8 billion settlement is $2 billion short of what they've allegedly stolen from the company. So like the family most responsible for this is that they're going to plead guilty to some felonies. None of them are going to face any jail time. No bad thing is going to happen to them.
And they're still billionaires.
They're still billionaires. And they don't even know like how much money that they have just in offshore accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Like what they have that we know about, they're billionaires. What that we don't know about, they're like tens of billionaires. Like,
yeah, exactly. No, and that's, I hate kind of titles like this because if you just glance at it, you're like, damn, that's a pretty big fine. But in the real, I mean, pharmaceutical companies are making real, real money. So $8 billion to them is literally a slap on the wrist. It's basically nothing.
Yeah, that's right. It's basically nothing. And I mean, like pretty much everybody tied with this is like extremely upset. Like, I can't believe they settled for this much or this little. The most likely what's going to happen is the company's going to be declared bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll either be under government control or they'll face like a lot of just new people will be in charge. But does that mean OxyContin is like never going to be distributed again? Possibly not. So it's like, there's really like no winner in this thing except for like the family that made billions of dollars or as a result of this.
Exactly. Off of the deaths and honestly misery that the people who went through that whole crisis, as far as, you know, we all know. Well, yeah, I guess everyone knows people who are affected by painkillers. You know, like I know when I went and if you know me, you know, I've had an old back injury for years. When I was 16, I herniated a couple discs in my low back. So I've gone to pain specialists over the years. Not anymore, thank God. You know, I've just gotten healthier, stronger. I know more about my body, so I don't really have to take painkillers anymore. But when I would go, man, I would get 360 Percocets per bottle. Like, that's enough for, like, six people. And I would just get that every month if I wanted it.
Like, even if you're not an addict, they're, like, pushing you to be an addict.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, you have enough that you could just take as much as you want to.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, exactly.
Like, it's honestly, like, it's such a scam. And the only reason I want to bring that up is it ties so perfectly into this statin scam. I'm sure if you're listening to this, like, you probably think, like, these guys are conspiracy theorists, like, the statins can't be that bad, the government, the American Heart Association would never let that happen. But it's like, here's a result that's going on today, like, right now, of the same thing.
Yeah. Like, these companies are so shady, and that's why it ties in so much. Like, they're not playing by the rules, and they have lobbyists involved, and we talked about it just, I'll give a recap of the past couple episodes. So the first episode, if you want to go back and listen to the whole series, which I recommend you should, just outlines the bad science this whole hypothesis was based on. So it was based on something called the diet heart hypothesis, which was promoted by Ancel Keys, and honestly that is like the worst study ever. So if you want to listen about that, check back episode one. Part two was really about why LDL really isn't even bad cholesterol, like, quote unquote, and the misinformation around that. So, and why cholesterol is so important in our body, all the things it does. So go back and listen to part two. And but just to touch on, like, the pharmaceutical companies, they're not playing by the rules. And we talked about it in part one, when this whole diet thing, you know, like telling specifically Americans what to eat became political. Now being right does not matter. If lobbyists are involved, money's involved, people are just trying to manipulate the system to make money and to make more and more of a profit. And it's same thing with statins. Like, once money got involved, and a ton of money is involved in statins, and you'll see in today's podcast, they don't care if it kills people. They just care if they make money off it. And that's the sad thing, you know?
Yeah, sad, but unfortunately true.
So true. And I just want to start off with, because this whole undertone of this whole series is cholesterol, and everyone damns cholesterol, it seems like, nowadays, but you really shouldn't, you know, because our body makes cholesterol because it's so vital. The body cannot leave it to chance that you'd get it from your diet. You would die instantly without cholesterol. That's how fundamental it is to every cell in our body. It's an undeniable fact.
Yeah, and just to kind of touch on what happens when your body can't make it. So there's a genetic disease. It's called Smith-Lemli-Opitz syndrome. Fortunately, it's pretty rare. Not a lot of people have it. I think it's like one in every 40,000 people are affected by this. And by people, I should mean children or babies, because you don't really make it past childhood if you have this. So there's several different ways that this disease is going to be expressed. So first, just physical growth. There's so many physical discrepancies that can happen, like abnormalities. So you might have stuff like fingers and toes kind of like fused together. You might get a cleft lip, some stuff like that. Generally, you're going to be extremely short as well. So there's a lot of just normal growth is not going to be occurring. So
and just have a lot of... Just to clarify real quick, this is the disease where your body doesn't effectively make cholesterol. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
And these are all the side effects.
Yeah, you can't synthesize cholesterol.
Yeah.
Or at least not enough of it.
Mm-hmm. So, not effectively.
Yeah, so that's one way. Another way with your internal organs, and since cholesterol affects every single organ in your body, you could have a lot of abnormalities in every single organ system. So your colon might be too short. You have a small liver, like just stuff like that. So like every single organ system could be affected. Generally, you're going to have some sort of mental retardation or some other sort of cognitive disabilities as well. So it's like just kind of everything that could possibly go wrong goes wrong with these children. And the best way we have of like kind of battling this disease is just feed children like egg yolks. But again, like these children very, very rarely make it past like infancy or childhood. Oh, and the other thing that usually, unfortunately, is what kills these children is that cholesterol is so vital when it comes to our immune system that they're very, very prone to just infectious diseases and stuff like that. So it's a horrible disease. I don't wish that upon my worst enemy. But yeah, I mean, that's just kind of just shows you how vital cholesterol, especially cholesterol synthesis, what statin drugs combat, how just such a bad idea it is and how horrible it is for your health.
Yeah, and I love looking at arguments from that angle because if, you know, LDL is so bad, if cholesterol is so toxic, if it so readily gives us heart disease, it's like, okay, let's look at this condition where LDL cholesterol isn't a thing, where it's super low. Like, maybe these people should have heart health and live to 100. But if you actually go back and look, it shows how important cholesterol is because these kids die a slow death. And, not that slow, but painful, I should say, because they die really young. But it's terrible, man. It's a terrible, terrible disease. And there's no denying that. If I just go Google that syndrome, it is a thing. It's real, you know?
And yeah, there are cardiologists out there that think, like, LDL, the lower, the better. Like, if I could get that down to zero, I would.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, no, that is the absolute worst idea imaginable.
Yeah, exactly. And there's literally science out there proving it. And, like, since this is true, and it 100% is, how can statin makers and the pharmaceutical companies get away with promoting something that lowers cholesterol and then claim it's beneficial? So really the gist of it and what this whole podcast is going to be about is money and statistical manipulation. So the one big statin I want to focus on today is Lipitor, also known as atorvastatin. And that's the big one made by Pfizer. It has made Pfizer $125 billion since 1997 alone. And to go
that
back...
so much money.
So much money. So to go back to the initial article of the week, how it was only an $8 billion fine, like this one drug has made Pfizer shit 15 times that since 1997. So for these companies, $8 billion ain't shit, you know?
Yeah.
And this is just one drug and their whole profile of other drugs they, you know, create. So, yeah, so Lipitor has made $125 billion since 1997. It's a huge drug. It is the second most prescribed drug in the world with over 104 million prescriptions since 2017. In 2017 alone. And it might as well be the number one prescribed because the number one and number two are only off like a couple thousand prescriptions. And once you're in the over 100 million plus, a couple thousand is like not even a percent. So it's damn near the number one prescribed drug in the world. And the big health claim made by Lipitor, which I'm sure you've seen in some like men's health magazine at some point, is that it lowers your odds of having a heart attack by 36%. And I mean, I know I've seen these articles. You see like a diagram of a heart and like a little EKG and some like old white guy grabbing his chest, like in this pretend heart attack, like it's this whole scare tactic. And then it'll say 36% reduction in big ass letters. And it sounds impressive. You're like, damn, okay, take this one pill and it'll lower your heart attack by 36%. Like that's the leading cause of death in the world. So might as well take it. But
I mean, if I didn't know any better, I mean, like, that makes me want to take it.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. But that data, that 36% is like just BS through and through. And I'm going to break that down why. So Lipitor's 36% reduction of heart attack risk was a figure arrived from a relative risk reduction from 3% to 2% chance of having a heart attack. And you might be asking, what's the problem with that? You know, what's a relative risk reduction? So a relative risk reduction is a common tactic used by pharmaceutical companies that can make an effect appear meaningful when the absolute risk reduction reveals its insignificance. And absolute risk reduction is what we want to focus on, not relative risk. So how do they come up with these numbers? And here's a little breakdown with some real kind of basic round numbers so you can get the math real quick. So you can think of it like this. You have 100 people that are treated with the statin medication. One person sees a benefit, 99 see no benefit. And the benefit is an absolute risk reduction from a 2% chance to a 1% chance of having a heart attack. So that if you look at it like that, 2% to 1% doesn't seem like a big deal. But this data is spun by the pharmaceutical industry as a 50% relative risk reduction in having a heart attack. So all of a sudden, this 1% benefit turns into a 50% benefit just through some manipulation of the data. What they would do basically is you divide 1 by 2, so 1% by 2%, and that gives you 0.5. And 0.5 is 50%. So this 1% benefit magically turns into 50% just like that, when all the real data shows was a 1% improvement in one person. And to go back to the Lipitor number, you pretty much, you do 2% divided by 3%, that gives you 0.66, and then you take that number and you subtract it from 1, and you get 0.34, 34%. And the reason that's not 36% is because the numbers aren't exactly round 3 and 2, like 3.1, 2.13, so it averages out to 36%, but I kind of rounded the numbers to make the math a little more simple. But, that's what these people do.
You can't have 3.2 people.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you round it up a little bit, right? So, but that's how they got 36%. It's honestly just a load of crap. And there's never been any study ever showing an association between the degree of cholesterol lowering and beneficial outcomes described in terms of absolute risk reduction. Remember, that's what we want to look at. And that's likely because they would be perceived as insignificant. So in that Lipitor trial, that famous one that shows a 36% reduction in heart attack risk, what really happened is a 1% reduction in absolute risk. Nothing close to the 36% that was publicized. That 1% is basically meaningless. It's literally useless data. But these pharmaceutical companies spin the data in such a way to make it appear more than what it is.
Yeah, that 1% doesn't sound that impressive. Like, now I'm no longer interested in taking that drug.
Yeah. Like, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, okay, that sounds impressive to, like, no. Like, just think if you, some, like, banker came to you, it's like, okay, give me all the money you have today, and I can guarantee in 1 year I'll give you 1%. It's like, no, I'm good, bro. I'm going to keep my money, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a thing. Yeah. And this wasn't the only study that manipulated data to make statins appear beneficial. So the Jupiter trial of Crestor, which is another big statin, it resulted in increased fatal heart attacks in the treatment group, but that data was obscured by combining fatal and non-fatal heart attacks. So in the Jupiter trial, which is one of the more common cited trials and papers for like the benefits of statin, the people who took statins died more from heart attacks. So let that sit in, okay? Another one called the HPS study had a 26% dropout rate due to significant side effects prior to the beginning of the trial. And this trial also showed a 1% improvement with treatment, just 1%. So those people with the most significant side effects were functionally excluded from the study. That's a quarter of the people who couldn't handle the drug, and they just, okay, no, we're not going to have them in the study.
Yeah, I feel like that would have a pretty big impact on the results of that study.
Yeah, that 1% would be gone right away.
If you just get rid of the people that were going to do the worst on it right before it starts, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And you might be asking, what's the harm? Like, even a 1% reduction is better than nothing, I guess, you know? And you might be right if statin use wasn't associated with so many horrible side effects. If they were side effect free, maybe you'd have an argument. But even that 1% benefit, which again is so small it's not even worth talking about, isn't even there anymore if you only analyze the statin studies not done by people with conflicts of interest or paid for by the pharmaceutical industry. And this is an angle that people really don't look at. They just assume, and maybe this is a layman or people who just aren't as cynical as me or you, but they assume kind of something's published in, I don't know, some scientific journal that it has to be trustworthy. But a lot of these things are paid for by the company that creates the drug. Like, shit, don't you think that's like a side effect? I mean, don't you think that's a conflict of interest? Like, if Gatorade does a study, don't you think it's going to show Gatorade is good? Like, it's just obvious.
Yeah, it'd be either that or they wouldn't publish a study because they would find something wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, hey, this one person drank extra water, and, or like they find some sort of flaw
to not publish.
In the, and the methods of it, and they just wouldn't publish it.
Yep. So it's just, yeah, it's crazy. If you only look at studies done since 2004, which is when stricter conflict of interest rules were put in place, not only is there no benefit to taking a statin at reducing heart attack rates, the use of statins actually promote heart disease along with a myriad of other diseases. So here's a quote outlining that, and I think it's a great quote. It's kind of long, but I just pulled it all because it's so good. But here it is, quote, Since the introduction of statins to clinical medicine in 1987, several kinds of statins were reported to be effective in lowering LDL and also preventing heart disease events, mostly in the 1990s. However, unfair and unethical problems were associated with clinical trials reported by industry-supported scientists, and new penal regulations on clinical trials came into effect in 2004. After 2004, all clinical trials performed by scientists relatively free of conflicts of interest with pharmaceutical industries reported that statins were effective in lowering LDL. No significant beneficial effects were observed for prevention of heart disease. Few cardiology specialists around the world have accepted that there is no clinical evidence for the lower the better hypothesis. The majority of clinicians still appear to accept the results of meta-analysis of reports, including those published before 2004, new penal regulations of the clinical trials came into effect in the EU, that is, statins are effective in lowering LDL levels and thereby preventing coronary heart disease. Our group and others only adopt the conclusions of papers reported after 2004 by scientists essentially free of conflict of interest that statins are ineffective in preventing coronary heart disease. End quote. So that was a long-ass quote. I kind of butchered it a little bit. But the gist of it is the data isn't there. Like, basically, it's just gone.
Yeah, so basically, most of the reports done before 2004 are full of conflicts of interest, so they're not very reliable. And then if you use a meta-analysis, which is a study reporting other studies, if you use a bunch of shitty studies in your meta-analysis, now you have a meta-analysis of shitty studies, so you're going to get shitty results, even if that meta-analysis is done after 2004, because it's looking at a bunch of shitty studies done before 2004.
Uh-huh.
So it's still going to have a bunch of conflicts of interest because it's looking at old papers that aren't very effective. So you have to look at new reports after 2004. And if you are going to look at meta-analysis, it has to be only using results from after 2004.
And when you do that, the beneficial effects of statins, the magical ones, are completely gone. And that's because, and this is where we're going to go through the list of actual side effects of statins. Statins are mitotoxic, meaning they cause muscle damage. They are neurotoxic, meaning they cause nerve damage. They are hepatotoxic, meaning they cause liver damage. They are endocrine disruptors. They are cancer promoting. They are diabetes promoting. They cause cardiovascular damage and birth defects. Does that sound toxic enough for you?
I think you touched on everything. And the very first one you touched on is myotoxic, meaning they cause muscle damage. What's your heart?
It's a big-ass muscle. That's all it is. And that list might seem kind of long. And what's the syndrome you mentioned in the beginning? What was it called again?
Smith-Lemli-Opitz syndrome.
And that's a syndrome where your body doesn't produce cholesterol effectively, you know, by itself through biosynthesis. And what systems in our body does that syndrome affect?
Pretty much every single one that you just listed.
Every single one. That's because that cholesterol is found in every cell in our body from head to toe. And that's why statins affect all of our systems. They pretty much affect everything. And yes, there are links to studies causing all of these conditions on the website. So please, I think I have like 30 links for these posts. So just go check them out. All the evidence is there. If you doubt what I'm saying, check it out. If anyone ever like pushes back, like, no, this isn't true, print these things out. It's pretty ironclad science. And this is because statins block the enzyme 8-MG-CoA reductase and all the isoprenoids produced from the mevalinate pathway. And we talked about this in episode 2, but I just want to touch on it again because it is so important. When our body doesn't produce these compounds, it's toxic to every cell in our body. That's why statins affect every system in our body. And this is a quote talking about this. This is from Zoe Harcombe. Do you know her? Does that ring a bell to you?
Yeah, it does.
It does.
I can't picture like where or like where I know her from, but I know the name.
Yeah, I think she's either English or South African. I forget. I might be getting her confused with the other South African guy. But
is she Australian?
She might be Australian. Okay, she might be Australian. old white lady, short hair. I know her face because I was on her website a lot, pulling up a lot of these papers because she's a very she hates statins just as much as me. So she has a lot of great papers on this stuff.
But yeah, I've heard her in different podcasts, and I think I've heard a couple like lectures that she's done.
She has an accent.
Yeah.
So that's why I know she ain't American. I know that much. But this is a quote from her. It's really good. So, quote, statins disable reductase. Without reductase, the mevalonate pathway cannot function properly. Without the mevalonate pathway, cells cannot rejuvenate properly. It follows that the life of every cell in the human body is catastrophically impaired by statins. How long does it take to a cell to be affected? That depends on the life cycle of the cell. So it's 300 to 500 days for liver cells, and up to 5 days for the cells lining the gut. Cells are poisoned by statins because statins block the making of isoprenoids from mevalonate. If a cell cannot replicate, they inevitably die. End quote. And I think that's such a powerful quote because it just shows you that it doesn't matter, liver cell, brain cell, gut cell, muscle cell, eventually statins will affect you. And it is a slow, poisonous death. And I think, and we've talked about this in the diabetes podcast, how I wish high blood sugar was painful because then people would really understand what that like donut is doing to them, you know? I also wish statins affected people more quickly and more painfully because if it did, nobody would take it. It's just sad that this effect is kind of drawn out.
Yeah, just an update on Zoe Harcum. So she's went to Cambridge University, and I think she's from the UK. At least that's what I'm getting from this.
Okay, see? I wasn't that off. Okay, UK. I know she has an accent. I know that much. But because I have heard her on a couple podcasts, too. But yeah, but she's wicked smart. She's, like, really, really smart. So, but yeah, so that's how the pharmaceutical industries get away with this crap. If they get data, they spin it however way they can to make it seem beneficial, and then they print it. They're not technically lying. Like, it is these, like, relative risks, but they just manipulate the data to make it appear more than what it is. And it's up to people like me and Tom. It's up to people who really can see through the BS to tell you the truth. And hopefully you guys can, you know, just believe us. I know, like Tom said, believe us. I know, like Tom said, we sound kind of... we sound like we're conspiracy theories, like we're walking around with like aluminum hats on, like trying to protect ourselves from like radiation and shit. But this is all true, and I know it sounds crazy, but it is.
One thing with statin drugs is, so the gold standard of like drug research is a double blind placebo study, but you can't do those studies with statin drugs because as soon as a doctor looks at your results, he's going to know if you're taking a statin or a placebo. He's going to see your LDL low number lowered. So as soon as you see those results from the tests, there goes the double blind. Like, the doctor's going to know, and he's going to treat you differently. So it's almost impossible to have a statin trial be the gold standard just because of how statins work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But even if they could magically, they would still come out like shit drugs, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like the reason that we do the double blind placebos is that nobody really knows until the end of the trial. That way you don't treat patients differently. And since most cardiologists, I mean, damn near all of them, think that lowering LDL is the key, they're going to react differently with those patients that aren't taking them, that are on the placebo. They're going to just treat them differently.
Yeah, it gets rid of the bias that is just, it's there. And it's especially there in cardiologists when it regards to LDL. So yeah, so that's the end of the podcast this week. For the next few podcasts, I'm going to actually break down the side effects caused by statins. So there's honestly, the list is crazy long of all the side effects, but I just picked the big three. So diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. So those are probably the three biggest killers known today. So I'm just going to go through why statins cause those. So that'll be the next few episodes. So I hope you guys like that. You have anything else to say, Tom, or you think that was good enough?
Yeah, I think that's good. Just keep listening to this podcast. I mean, there's so many more just like problems with statins, and I know we've mentioned this all the time. Like, they're so prescribed, like they're everywhere. I know multiple people taking statin drugs. I'm sure everybody out there listening knows at least one person, probably like four or five or even more than that, taking them. So it's like, yeah, just keep listening, learn more, educate yourself, and spread that education on to others to help out your friends and family members.
Perfect. Well, all right, that's another podcast in the books. Thank you for listening. You can find us at tntwellnessandnutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast. That's one of the best ways you can show your support for us. I hope everybody has a happy... Oh, you can find us pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. I hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.